I open up the Human Services Committee on today, Wednesday, March 11th, 2009. And I will open up the work session on 2449 and 2450. Representative Gelser.
Good morning, Chair Tomei and members of the committee. For the record, I'm Sarah Gelser, representative from Corvallis and Philomath, which is House District 16. And thank you for holding a work session today on House Bill 2449 and House Bill 2450. I am pleased to report that House Bill 2449 is a great bill that's ready to go to the floor with your due pass recommendation and no changes. House Bill 2450, which has a subsequent referral to revenue, has a dash one amendment on it that I hope that you will adopt. When it gets to the Revenue Committee, we need to do a little bit more work in the Revenue Committee on lines 15 and 16 of, I don't have the bill in front of me, but I believe it's lines 15 and 16 that references the Department of Human Services. When this bill comes to the floor in its final form, it will not have any reference to the Department of Human Services because this is a function that goes through the Department of Justice, but we wanted to work with the Revenue Committee and the Department of Revenue on the appropriate collection, enforcement, and certification process, and that's appropriately done in the Revenue Committee.
Okay, great. Any questions of Representative Gelser? We're in a work session, Representative Boone.
Thank you.
Any questions of Representative Gelser on either of these two bills? All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Do we have anyone else who wishes to speak on either? Oh, no, it's a work session.
Well, you can invite them if you want to.
Okay. Anybody from the department here who wishes to speak on either of these two bills? Vicki, I see you're here. Do you have anything to say?
Never pass up on that.
Chair Tomei and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Mickey Cerise. I'm with the Department of Human Services, Children, Adults, and Families. And just to reiterate our earlier testimony, we do support both of these bills. We see both of them as an enhancement to Carley's Law from last session, and we hope that the committee will consider a due pass recommendation.
Great.
Thank you.
Okay, colleagues, Representative Huffman has to go in just a minute, and I think we can vote on these two bills unless somebody has a problem with either one of them.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I'm trying to play catch up here. Okay. No, Madam Chair, I do not.
Great. Representative Boone.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2449 to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Boone moves House Bill 2449 to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Okay. Zach, would you call the roll, please?
Representative Van Orn.
Aye.
Aye.
Representative Maurer.
Aye.
Representative Huffman.
Aye.
Representative Freeman.
He makes it late.
Aye.
Representative Dibber.
Aye.
Representative Allen.
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson.
Excused.
Vice Chair Boone.
Aye.
Chair Tomei.
Aye. Having passed the majority votes, this motion passes. All right, and it will go, does it go to the floor? Does it go to Governor?
This one goes to the floor, so it will need a carrier.
Okay. Anybody like to carry this bill? Do you want to carry your own bill on the floor? Great. Representative Gelser will carry this bill. All right, Representative Boone.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the dash one amendments dated March 6, 2009. For 2450.
Thank you. Representative Boone moves to adopt the dash one amendments to 2450. Is there any discussion? Any objection? The amendments are adopted.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2450 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Revenue by prior reference.
Representative Boone moves House Bill 2450 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and it be referred to the Committee on Revenue by prior reference. Any discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Van Orman.
Aye.
Representative Maurer.
Aye.
Representative Putnam.
Aye.
Representative Freeman.
Aye.
Representative Denbro.
Aye.
Representative Cowan.
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson.
Excused.
Vice Chair Boone.
Aye.
Chair Tomei.
Aye. Having received the majority votes, this bill passes and will go to 2450 passes and will go to the Committee on Revenue. Thank you. So I will close the work session on 2449 and 2450 and open up a public hearing on 2686. Thank you, Committee. Okay.
This bill expands the definition of public and private officials subject to child abuse reporting requirements to include pharmacists.
Okay. Do we have anyone who wishes to speak on this? Good.
Good morning, Chair Tomei and members of the committee. I'm using my voice, so this will be very short for two reasons.
I think I relate to them.
For the record, my name is Jim Thompson. I'm State Representative for House District 23. This particular bill, this will be the shortest testimony I've ever given on a bill. It's a housekeeping piece that really doesn't need a lot of explanation. Last session of the legislature, we passed legislation making pharmacists or recognizing pharmacists as being healthcare providers. The intent at that time was to also include them in other relevant statutes, and this particular one was missed. So this just simply adds the word pharmacist into a long list of other people who are mandatory child abuse supporters. And to be honest with you, I can't figure out why all adults in Oregon aren't mandatory reporters, but we're choosing to do it one label at a time. So that's what all this bill does, just adds pharmacists into mandatory child reporters. And we have Dan Kennedy here, who can introduce himself, but he'll give you a little on-the-street experience.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Dan Kennedy. I'm the Outpatient Pharmacy Operations Manager at OHSU. I am a pharmacist, and I am an adoptive father, and I am a foster father. Really, the story of how this came about was as an adoptive father and foster father, we have had an opportunity to have closer dealings with DHS over the past several years. And my wife, who is a nurse, and I were perusing through online reporting, and she pointed out quite gleefully that nurses were included and pharmacists were excluded. It seemed to occur to me that, pharmacists with their accessibility as healthcare professionals should be on this list, and really I think this, in my opinion, is viewed really as an oversight. We have a high ethical standard. I think pharmacists are highly trusted individuals. With the advent of self-care and people sort of circumventing the medical system, as it were, the traditional medical system, pharmacists are seeing a lot more people as they come in seeking ways to take care of themselves. I think this is a high obligation that, pharmacists should be held to, as well as other healthcare professionals. That's about the extent of my testimony, and I'd be happy to answer any questions any of you might have.
I have the first question. I assume, Representative, that you are a pharmacist.
I am not a pharmacist. I am past executive director of the State Pharmacy Association, though.
Ah. And you didn't need to be a pharmacist to be that director.
I did not. That was a shortcoming of the association, I'm sure.
Well, we're happy.
They probably didn't want to pay me as much as I would make if I were a pharmacist.
But, Madam Chair, his occupation was not unrelated to pharmacists.
That's true.
And what is that, Representative?
I spent most of my career in pharmaceuticals, research and development, and medical education. So.
Ah, very interesting. Thank you. Any questions of either of these two gentlemen? All right. Thank you very much. Colleagues, I think we're ready for a work session on this, but I think Representative Huffman would like to vote on this, so I will hold off until he gets back and close the public hearing. Unless there is anyone else who wishes to speak on this? Was there anybody else who wanted to speak on it? Nobody's looking eager to. Then we will close the public hearing on 2686. Open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 165.
Madam Chair, we're on a roll today.
I was just thinking exactly the same verbiage.
I've got a few bills that we can...
Keely, that should have been up to date.
This bill directs the Department of Human Services to provide or contract for services for developmentally disabled individuals if services are not provided through the local mental health authority.
Okay, and do we have people who are wanting
to... I believe there was someone on the list.
Just come right on up if you're expecting to speak. Go ahead.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Mary Lee Fay. I'm the administrator for the Office of Developmental Disabilities within Seniors and People with Disabilities, Department of Human Services. And I'm here to provide testimony and in support of Senate Bill 165. This is a bill that would allow the department to directly contract for community developmental disability programs, typically run by the counties, on a permanent basis should the county opt not to contract for these services directly. This does not change the statute that allows counties the first right of refusal of doing the services, but in some instances in the state, we have had counties not want to contract for developmental disabilities. There have been four counties so far that we actually directly contract with providers to do the services. In the past, the current statute only gives the state the ability to run them on an emergency basis. These programs are complex, and the ability to find to have contractors doing these services is they're not widespread, and when we do have counties that look to return the contract, they are not necessarily geographically located. So the four counties that we currently contract for are Josephine, Coos, Lake, and Harney, and recently we had Umatilla County return their contract. In Umatilla County, we are currently going to have them be a state-run office. This would give us the ability to not have to re-subcontract that out, but contract or work with that on a permanent basis. I should mention that of the other 32 counties that we run programs, 14 of them, the county commissioners subcontract to local. To typically nonprofit providers to do the services. So this allows the department an additional option in being able to provide the services. And typically what we're talking here is not the direct services such as group homes or employment, but it's the case management, it's the eligibility determination, it's the protective service work, it's contracting for services, it's oversight of the foster care providers in that community or the group home providers or the employment providers. So it's the overall organizational structure that supports individuals with developmental disabilities in our communities.
Great. Thank you, Mary Lee. Any questions of this presenter?
I have one.
Yes, Representative Van Orman.
Thanks, Chair Tomei. So I suspect there are definitely going to be more counties that are going to be giving this up. So the question I have is relative to subcontracting. I think I heard you say that you then could subcontract with the nonprofits that exist in those communities that have been subcontracting with the counties. Is that correct?
Chair Tomei, Representative Orman, we could do that. And in an example in Eastern Oregon, the Eastern Oregon Services Health Consortium, we refer to them as EOSH, I think that's what their initials stand for. We contract with them directly, but a couple of different counties also contract with them. So they could, in some instances, be the subcontractor of the county, and in the two counties we're talking about, we directly contract with them via the state.
Okay, thanks.
Any further questions? Seeing none. Thank you very much, Mary Lee. So, Megan Moyer, is there anyone else who wishes to speak on this bill?
Okay. Chair Tomei, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Megan Moyer. I represent the Service Employee International Union, Local 503. We represent the adult foster care providers for the developmentally disabled and are speaking in favor of Senate Bill 165. This issue originally came about with the crisis facing Timber County is the loss of federal revenue that got extended for 4 years, but it's still slated in 4 years to go away. This prompted several counties, as Mary Fay pointed out, to return services to the state. And under statute, the state was really put in a very difficult position where they were really only supposed to take back those services for a short window of time. We feel like this change in statute would give the department the appropriate flexibility to continue the case management so that the clients that are being served in these communities continue to have a consistent quality of care. We hope that in application of Senate Bill 165, the department will seriously consider the role that DHS, if we enter a situation which may be possible in this economic crisis, where if the state is going to be taking on county after county after county, that we seriously consider if it might be in the best interest of the state if the state actually assumes the responsibility back within the Department of Human Services. Now, this bill does not require that the state do that, and we appreciate that and are not advocating for an amendment that would force them to, only that if it makes sense for both quality and cost efficiency, that the state seriously consider if that for each county or as a number, that they seriously consider the appropriateness of the state taking back responsibility. Thank you.
Big leap, Megan.
I think questions of this.
Yeah, Madam Chair, it's just a comment for the committee that we've had an issue in Josephine County, and we've worked with Megan pretty closely on an issue down there, and I won't go into the details, but this is absolutely necessary, and I hope we move it today to allow the state some flexibility, and you know, times are changing, and the state's role has changed as things move out of the county, and it's been intensely frustrating to deal with an organization in Josephine County that seems to be reticent to doing what seems to be the open and transparent thing. So I absolutely support this bill, and we're two stops away, a vote here, a vote in the House floor, and then the governor's signature.
And Chair Tomei, members of the committee, let me clarify, I am not advocating that counties have this taken away from them in any way, and nor am I advocating in this bill that the state assume responsibility, that they should appropriately have both options. I am just encouraging that be a thoughtful process.
Thank you, Megan. Representative Cowan, for future thought.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will support this bill, and I'm perfectly comfortable with it moving, but I want to emphasize that, from my perspective, the fact that it does not change the county's right of first refusal is the reason that I'm willing to accept that. I am very reticent to take some of the next steps that, with all due respect, were suggested, and as long as there is no amendment to that effect at this point, I think it's a bigger question that we need to, and I understand that you're not suggesting it at this point. I just need it on the record that I'm very uncomfortable about going farther than this, but I'm very supportive of this.
And Representative Cowan, I actually didn't suggest that we take that.
I understand.
And nor ever do I suggest. I was saying if it is turned back to the state, if a county makes that decision, then I'm encouraging the state to consider being the provider, not contracting it out. I am in no way nor pursuing at any point.
Thank you for that.
Yes, I think I confused people. I am not at any point trying to. That was not my comment.
Thank you.
Thank you, Megan. Any other questions?
Thank you for the clarification.
Okay, thank you very much. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak on this bill? Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 165 and open up a work session on 165.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 165 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Boone moves Senate Bill 165 to the floor with a due pass recommendation just in time. Any discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll. And this time, you can start from the top of the alphabet.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Representative Cowan.
Aye.
Representative Denbro.
Aye.
Representative Freeman.
Aye.
Representative Huffman.
Aye.
Representative Maurer.
Aye.
Representative Van Orman.
Aye.
Vice Chair Boone.
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson.
Aye.
Chair Tomei.
Aye. This motion passes, Senate Bill 165. And who hasn't carried a bill for a while?
I haven't, but it sounded like Ron had some passion about this one.
Oh, that's great. You want to carry this?
Representative Freeman.
Representative Maurer will carry Senate Bill 165 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Perfect.
So, Madam Chair, I see things haven't changed.
We are moving along, sir. Okay. So, we're going to open up a work session on House Bill 2686.
Madam Chair, I move that House Bill 2686 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Olson, thank you, moves House Bill 2686 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? All right. Would you call the roll, please?
Representative Cowan.
Aye.
Representative Denbro.
Aye.
Representative Freeman.
Aye.
Representative Huffman.
Aye.
Representative Maurer.
Aye.
Representative Van Orman.
Aye.
Vice Chair Boone.
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson.
Aye.
Chair Tomei.
Aye. House Bill 2686 got in the majority. We'll go to the floor with a due pass recommendation. This is almost like a consent calendar. Would anybody have any thoughts about this?
Yes. No.
Do you want to carry it?
I don't have a problem. I think consent calendar is appropriate for this. Unless it makes sense if you think about it.
Is he still here?
No. Madam Chair, let's ask him.
Okay. All right. We'll ask him. So, but do I need to assign a carrier now? Representative Thompson will carry this bill on the floor. Thank you, committee. Ooh. All right, we are moving along. Yes.
Can we just pick a bill and say Speaker Hunt?
Yeah.
He's passionate.
So now we're going to open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 288.
This bill allows mentally ill individuals who are committed to the care of the Department of Human Services to be represented by members of Legal Services or the Protective Services Program in case hearings contesting treatment as potentially unusual or hazardous.
Okay. Do we have anybody? Oh,
June Diff.
Mr. June Diff. Good.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Bob Jundeff. I'm from Disability Rights Oregon, and I'm very happy to see that you have a consent calendar today, so I will be characteristically brief. At the Oregon State Hospital, there is a process that exists for patients for whom the hospital wants to medicate, but that individual doesn't want to be medicated, and the hospital feels that that person does not have the mental capacity to make that decision. And so what happens is that there needs to be, in those situations, a process by which substitute decision-making is put into place for that individual. And under constitutional law and state law, that person has a right to a hearing in order to determine whether the person has the capacity to make medical decisions for themselves, and if not, whether the treatment that is being recommended by the hospital is appropriate. And so the system that's in place here in Oregon is for our state hospitals is that the person gets to request a hearing, and then they're entitled to an administrative hearing with an administrative law judge, and they're entitled to representation at that hearing. Presently, our office has a contract with the state hospital to provide the service of representation for patients who go through that process. This particular process has been in place for just under 2 years now. What we would like to be able to do, as we do in some other areas of law, is have the ability not only to have attorneys represent people in those hearings, but also to have trained and supervised paralegals provide the representation in those hearings. And the reason that we would like to be able to do that is that because of the nature of the hearings and the fact that they come up very quickly and they need speedy preparation, we need to have enough staff to be able to cover that task, particularly when people may be sick or may be on vacation and so forth and so on. We have the ability under state law to have trained and supervised paralegals do representation. In other types of administrative hearings, we feel this is the type of hearing that we can accomplish this as well by having a paralegal do that work. And that's what this bill is all about. And it would also give that authority to a legal aid organization, should a legal aid organization be in that position. They are not at present, but since we and legal aid are really similar types of organizations in that we are nonprofits that are federally funded and regulated to provide advocacy, legal advocacy services, it seems appropriate to have some exceptions for that type of representation.
Thank you, Mr. Joondeff. Any questions of Mr. Joondeff? Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Bob, what's being done now? Who represents these people under the current system?
Madam Chair, Representative Huffman, right now our office has one attorney who primarily performs the task of representing the patients in these hearings. It varies from month to month, but usually it's somewhere between 10 and 15 hearings a month at the hospital. When she's unable to do it, we've had a backup attorney who's been performing that task. And what we'd like to do, of course, is to have one or two other staff who are not attorneys but are trained paralegals who can also cover as needed.
So under the current statute, it has to be an attorney, and a paralegal couldn't step in at this point, and that's what we're trying to fix then?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Representative Boone.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It says mentally with a mental illness. I'm assuming that could be a senior with, it doesn't have to be a diagnosed mental illness, or could it be someone with dementia?
Madam Chair, Representative Boone, yes, it could be, but that person would have to be in the state hospital and in the custody of the state. So this is for people, for example, who might be, there are some people who may from time to time be voluntarily placed or placed themselves or replaced by a guardian in the hospital. This does not apply to them. This only applies to people who are, in essence, involuntarily living at the hospital because they've been put there through the criminal law process or through civil commitment process.
And just a follow-up. And if you have presently 10 to 15 a month and an occasional backup when the permanent attorney is not available, how often does that happen? I mean, are you being influxed with these requests? Or?
Madam Chair, Representative Boone, it's uneven in terms of when they come, so it depends on circumstances. However, for example, about 3 weeks ago, the attorney who regularly does this work had a family crisis, and we needed to move another person in so that they could do that work, which meant other work didn't get done, et cetera, et cetera. And in a small office, you just have to be flexible to be able to provide that coverage. But we made sure, of course, that the person who's doing that work was thoroughly trained to do it, but it can be a pinch for us because our office has a limited number of resources, and we're really trying to balance it out as best as possible. These hearings they require skill. They require an understanding of the legal process, the evidence that can be introduced. The person who does the representation needs to be skilled in working with folks who are in a state hospital, and that can bring its own challenges, as I'm sure you can imagine. So we think it's important that we have that skill set within the office, but we feel that we can that work can be done as long as the person is properly trained to do it.
And a final, just a follow-up, thank you. And I don't know a lot about it, but I'm not an attorney. But what I was wondering is this a first, or are paralegals able to do a similar situation work? Are we going to get input? Are we going to have all the lawyers in the state call us and say, you can't do this?
Madam Chair, Representative Boone, I happen to know that this bill was reviewed by the State Bar Association, who are the folks who are most jealous of their prerogatives in terms of the practice of law, and they chose not to object to the bill. I think they understand that's a very limited task, not a lucrative one, and unlikely to spread out from this area. And as I said, the existing law already gives us the authority to do this in certain types of administrative hearings that are, again, fairly limited to people who don't have much in the way of resources and are unlikely to go out and hire an attorney to help them.
And I appreciate the fact that you are there to do it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Cowan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm quite certain that we won't find a number of people standing in line to take over the responsibilities of your office. I know they're very challenging. I just wanted to clarify, this is something that your office is already allowed to do with child support and public assistance cases. So really you're just expanding this into one of the other responsibilities of your office. Am I understanding that correctly?
Madam Chair, Representative Cowan, that's correct.
Thank you.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Do you see this, Bob, kind of as a cost saving?
Madam Chair, Representative Olson, we thought it might be, but when you look at the economy here, it makes very little difference. I know these are economic hard times, and I don't want to whine to the committee, but our starting salary for an attorney right out of law school is $28,000 a year.
Wow.
And it's hard to find somebody. Yes. Keely. paralegals don't come much less expensive than that. So there's some difference, but not very much. And I think that PHS gave it a neutral fiscal.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any further questions? Oh, Representative Van Orman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just like to reinforce what he said. I think one of the reasons we nonprofits, as a former nonprofit operator, we get contracted with is because we do it cheaper, and we do it cheaper because we pay less.
Sure. Any further questions?
Not a question, but a comment. We were just commenting on, the investment in law school, et cetera. But so the people you do have working for you must be really good-hearted people.
I'll pass that on.
I'm sure they are.
Any further questions? Thank you so much for coming to testify and for all the work that you do. Thank you. I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 2288 and open. And is there anyone else who wishes to speak on this? Seeing nobody looking eager, we'll open up a work session on Senate Bill 288. Representative.
What is
your name? That's
right. Just call me Oli.
Oli.
Oli. Okay.
Well, Madam Chair, I move Let's see. Senate Bill 288 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Olson moves Senate Bill 288 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, Zach, will you call the roll, please?
Representative Van Orman.
Aye.
Representative Maurer.
Aye.
Representative Huffman.
Aye.
Representative Freeman.
Aye.
Representative Denbrough.
Aye.
Representative Callen.
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson.
Aye.
Vice Chair Boone.
Aye.
Chair Tomei.
Aye. This Senate Bill 288 passes. And I think we should not send this on the consent calendar, but is there anyone who would like to carry this?
I'll carry.
I don't have a problem with it.
Mm-hmm. Whichever.
Okay.
We're not competing.
You win. Callen can carry. I will close the work session on Senate Bill 288. Well, friends, is this a
record?
Record time.
Yeah. I wouldn't have been so compelled to stop for breakfast if I had any idea you were going to do this.
I have no idea either. You never know. You never know if you're going to have a room full of people or not.
This is the best. Apologize. It is.
Any other business?
Yeah, no.
Okay. We will close the House Committee on Human Services, and I will see you all early.